So the oppositions that rulers try to annihilate in philosophy, using most recently Hegel, take many forms. I mean, is expressed in various ways. Form and content, subject and object, being and becoming, everything and nothing, change and rest, actuality and potentiality, reality and appearance, matter and spirit. And this is quoting Karl Popper. All these ghosts from the past seem to haunt the brain of the great dictator while he performs his dance with his balloon, with his puffed up and fictitious problems of God and the world. But there is method in his madness, and even Prussian method. For behind the apparent confusion, there lurk the interests of the absolute monarchy of Frederick William. The philosophy of identity serves to justify the existing order. Its main upshot is an ethical and juridical positivism. Juridical positivism, the doctrine that what is good. This is the doctrine of juridical positivism, that what is good. Since there can be no standards but existing standards, it is the doctrine that might is right. In my interjection, it is in this light that we can best make sense of power's systematic and relentless assault upon earth-connected peoples. There can be no standards but existing standards. Earth-connected peoples, Nigerian, Pakistani, Mexican villagers, Uyghurs, Bedouins, the global indigenous generally. Continuing. How is this doctrine derived? How is this doctrine derived? Merely by a series of equivocations. Plato, whose forms or ideas, as we have seen, are entirely different from ideas in the mind, had said that the ideas alone are real and that perishable things are unreal. Hegel adopts from this doctrine the equation ideal equals real. Kant talked in his dialectics about the ideas of pure reason, using the term idea in the sense of ideas in the mind. Hegel adopts from this the doctrine that the ideas are something mental or spiritual or rational, which can be expressed in the equation idea equals reason. Combined, these two equations, or rather equivocations, yield real equals reason. And this allows Hegel to maintain that everything that is reasonable must be real, and everything that is real must be reasonable, and that the development of reality is the same as that of reason. And since there can be no higher standard in existence than the latest development of reason and of the idea, everything that is now real or actual exists by necessity and must be reasonable as well as good. Particularly good, as we shall see, is the actually existing Prussian state. This is the philosophy of identity. Apart from ethical positivism, a theory of truth also comes to light, just as a byproduct, to use Schopenhauer's words. And a very convenient theory it is. All that is reasonable is real, as we have seen. This means, of course, that all that is reasonable must conform to reality and therefore must be true. Truth develops in the same way as reason develops, and everything that appeals to reason in its latest stage of development must also be true for that stage. In other words, everything that seems certain to those whose reason is up to date must be true. Self-evidence is the same as truth. My interjection, what would you say? Is it philosophy overall, or just philosophy in its latest stage of development, that is apologia, elaborated as system for rule? I vote for the former. Continuing, self-evidence is the same as truth. Provided you are up to date, All you need is to believe in a doctrine. This makes it, by definition, true. In this way, the opposition between what Hegel calls the subjective, i.e. belief, and the objective, i.e. truth, is turned into an identity. And this unity of opposites explains scientific knowledge also. The idea is the union of subjective and objective. Science presupposes that the separation between itself and truth is already canceled. So much on Hegel's philosophy of identity, the second pillar of wisdom on which his historicism is built. And my interjection, in beginning again, I suggest story leading reality as a good shorthand for historicism. Continuing, with its erection, the somewhat tiresome work of analyzing Hegel's more abstract doctrines comes to an end. The rest of this chapter will be confined to the practical political applications made by Hegel of these abstract theories. And these practical applications will show us more clearly the apologetic purpose of all his labors. And interjection, I included Popper's discussion of this practical application at the end of Revealing Division. And these little books you can download from the tools menu. I also embedded them in this essay for this show on the Embracing Global Goals page. Continuing. Hegel's dialectics, I assert, are very largely designed to pervert the ideas of 1789, unquote, from Karl Popper, The Open Society and Its Enemies, and this is actually from volume 2. Let's repeat that. Hegel's dialectics are very largely designed to pervert the ideas of 1789, which makes Marxism homage to the man and his work. The use of his language, to my mind, very perverted.